Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh!
Let him play!
He wins. Great steak. Smells like poop.
Honestly, like if Urban Meyer wants to come to Connecticut, bring him on. I mean, come on. I'll take him too.
Nia Jackson, I think, weighs 280 pounds.
Oh!
Can we isolate that clip? Nia Jackson weighs 280 pounds. Oh!
Let her play.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the Big A to Z show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in overcast and still quarantined Southern California. It's really still kind of nice to look outside, even though there's no sun in the sky. But the trees look very nice on this evening. And one of the trees out there, as I look outside my window here from this nice little studio, reminds me of trees over in Carmel, California, farther up the coast, much further, you know, basically in Northern California. And it's just a place I love to go to time and again. And it's a place I look forward to going to soon. And I don't know how soon, but at some point, I think it can be afforded. And I think that's a good sign, I guess, in a lot of ways. You know, we talked about that on the last show, how things are looking up as far as the coronavirus. In fact, I read that hospitalizations in California have been basically flat for the last few, they said weeks, which is really good. But I'll tell you this, Orange County is not helping. They have been very, very stupid during the middle of all this. They've crammed the beaches. They've opened the park trails. I don't know what the hell they're doing. These guys need to get with the program, and I will leave it at that. But tonight, we won't talk about trails or beaches or masks or any of that stuff. We're going to get into the world of barbecue, and I got my friend Kristen Syracuse back with me because he's certainly known a few things about the grill himself, and it's a good time to revisit the topic of ribs and other delights. So let's get to it as our A to Z anthology series takes us up to the letter R. And to enjoy the letter R, it is also prudent to have a little bit of the letter B, that is beer, in you. And I have a number of them inside of me at the moment. So let's start, and let's bring in Chris in Syracuse now. Chris, good to have you with us. As things are going along, I was going to say as the weather's warming up, I don't think it is, though, where you are. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm all right. About as well as you can, you know, as well as you can be these days. Healthy, sure. That's good.
Yeah, no, healthy is good. No, that's not nothing, buddy.
It didn't rain today. That's good. Been doing that a lot here. Saturday was nice, but when it has been like clear out, it's been cold and windy. But today, I mean, it's been nice enough for the grass to grow a little bit. So I actually had, for the first time of the year, mowed the grass today.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, did you get that old like manual job and then start pushing it along? No, do you have a Toro? What's your method there?
It's a push, but it's a self-propelled. It's a nice one. It's getting pretty old, but it's a Honda, and this is our second one, mm-hmm. The second Honda we've had here, and because we used one at the house when I was a kid growing up, and I inherited that, and then we got that one, you know, went away, and then a new one. I don't know, they're just really good. As far as their longevity, they, you know, I just pulled it out of the garage, put gas in it, pulled the cord, and it fired right up like it always does.
Oh, very nice. That's a good sign, yeah. After all that, after being dormant that long. That's really good. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I have not mowed the lawn in at least, it feels like 20 years, but when I was a kid, I did too. I loved the lawnmower. The last one we had that we used regularly was quite nice, and I think we may have even had the button to start the engine rather than the cord. But I just remember doing the cord too. Like I remember the drama as you would pull the cord all the way to the end, and then you just hope that it was enough to get the engine going. I really had a lot of fun with that. But if it didn't work, then you have to like, go, and then you had to do it like 3 times. And then most of the time it worked though. So to do it one pull and then it works, that's really good. It's good engineering.
Yeah, it was good, you know, be outside and doing it too. That was, even if it, you know, it was overcast and cool, but mm-hmm. you know, like I said, dry. So that's good. And the thing was, is I looked at the forecast and it's kind of like, well, not only with work, but with the forecast, it's like, I better do this today because it looks like definitely tomorrow we're going to get a good amount of rain.
Yeah. Well, you won't have
and
the
ground's
issues.
Pretty.
Oh yeah.
Ground's pretty well wet. So, you know, you can't be out there with the lawnmower after, you know, when the ground's too soft. So figured I'd get it done today and, you know, we'll go from here.
That's a good job out of you. No, seriously. And it's also, by the way, I really want to thank you for coming on short notice like this. And it's kind of nice to chat with you again. I've actually had some things I wanted to talk to you about. And certainly the grill is no exception to that. Do you foresee any change to the weather in the next week so that you can get out there and do some grilling yourself?
Sure, it didn't really look like it. Well, maybe by the weekend, like Sunday, Monday.
Okay.
That'd be nice.
Okay. Well, that would be nice. I mean, and we were talking about how blessed we both are to have employment, because I know that's not the case for most people in the country right now. So I always count my blessings in that regard. And I know that I figure you do the same. So are you holding up okay over at the store and everything?
Yeah. I mean, it's busy and some days are better than others, but, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
At this point, it's just, you know, go in, put in the 8 hours and do what you got to do. And like I said, some days it's a bigger load than others, but it's not too different.
That's
so
good. Yeah. I know that
so
we...
it's not too bad.
That's good. That's good. I mean, I figured we were talking about how that has been settling down, you know, after the first couple of weeks. So the good thing, that's a good sign. I am reading a report, though, that there could be a meat shortage. Is there any truth to that? I mean, you're kind of in on it. So what is your feel in the situation?
Don't quite know how it's going to play out yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can say is I just don't know right now.
Oh, okay. So it's inconclusive?
Everything's kind of a guessing game. It's like you never know what's going to come in.
Well,
the fish end of it's been pretty solid, which is good because it's less of a headache for me. But like my cohorts down in the meat department, it's like one delivery they get a bunch of chicken, the next, but they get chicken and beef, and then there's like no pork, and then the next delivery there's chicken and pork and like almost no beef, and you know, it's 2 days later. So you just don't know.
I gotcha. Maybe that's part of it then. It's just there's no way to tell what's coming in when. Okay, well, good to know. I mean, I'm embracing myself for the potential of, let's say, chicken going up to like $6 a pound. Like that would not be fun. But
no, I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not either. You know, I've been blessed to have the opportunity to do a lot of cooking over this time since we've been shut down, and we started with the chicken, and I showed you the chicken in the messaging, and I was very proud of the chicken. Like, it was so easy. I just put it in and it worked, and it was great. Chicken, I gotta say, is probably one of the easiest things to make. If you're just talking about roasting a chicken in the oven, I mean, I cannot think of anything easier to do than bake a chicken. Like, you bake a chicken yourself? Yeah, I mean, are you keen to the scenario with the chicken?
Yeah, I bake chicken. You know, roast chicken in the oven. That's a great thing to do. In fact, the store sells them now, ready to go with there's a like a rosemary, garlic, and a lemon pepper, you know, just ready to go. Just throw them in there, already seasoned. Sometimes I just like to do a couple, you know, just a couple breasts, and I'll throw them in there with some sauce on them, right, just right in the oven, some barbecue sauce. And but every 10 minutes, you know, I go in there with the brush and I reapply it, you know, keeps it, you know, kind of keeps it moist and fresh on there. And it works out pretty good.
I love this. The craft, I love the mastery of your craft here. That's taking it another level. That's really cool. Yeah. So circling back to our original topic of ribs, something that we both love, and I have had the, I finally got a chance to actually try smoking ribs on a gas grill. It's just the only option I have right now. I don't even know if our apartment's allowed to do a smoker. So it's a good compromise right now. And I tried it.
Plus, you already have it. I mean, you don't have to go out and get a smoker. You know, you take something you already have. You repurpose it, or just find another way to use it.
Mm-hmm.
It looked neat. I kind of might try that this summer.
Yeah, thanks. I think once I figured out the timing, I realized that the process really wasn't that difficult. Like, especially if you can find. If you figure out how to do the dry rub, I mean, I was lucky. I just found it at Costco. They had the dry rub on there already. I will subscribe to the concept of taking off the membrane from the bottom of the ribs. You got to do that. And it's not the easiest thing to do, and it's not going to be perfect. But you should definitely try to take that membrane off if you can. And just, I mean, maybe there's no membrane, but usually there is. So it gets a little messy, but that's the number one. You just get that membrane off of there in the bottom, because all it's going to do is toughen it up, and you're better off just not having to deal with that. So number one. Number two, when you use a gas grill, get some wood chips and develop a smoker box. And it can just be foil, or it can be a smoker, just an actual smoker box you get from the hardware store. Not that expensive. I think it'll cost $20 for me. And you get to keep it. You get to use it all the time. So stuff it with wood chips, find the hickory wood chips or mesquite, whatever you want. And Chris, it's really as simple as you put on one burner on one side and you put the meat on the other side, and then just monitor it. Go very, very low. Apparently for me, I have to put the burner all the way at the bottom. Like, I don't even turn it up at all. And that's the temperature I need. So according to what the thermometer thing said, you don't have to turn it up at all. Like, you start the fire, get the wood chips smoking a bit, and then put your... And once that happens, then you take your burner and you set it all the way to the bottom. And then that should be enough heat to get your ribs going. So good luck to you when you try it. I guess my question... do you have a smoker box yourself? Do you use wood chips? Have you tried that before?
No, have not.
Okay,
I'm kind of looking forward to it.
It'll be exciting.
It looks like an interesting little setup.
Yeah.
When you were showing me and showing the world on with the pictures.
Oh, yeah.
And the end product looked good. I mean, I know the first one you said had a little too much char on the outside. But it still looked good. Like a very promising, you know, procedure.
Thanks for that. Yeah, I agree. It really did have a lot of promise, and I adjusted. And once I made the adjustments for the next time out, the texture on the inside was so much better. So it really was like we were saying in the messaging. Like, it wasn't a huge adjustment. It was just like a matter of reducing the amount of time and reducing the amount of heat, and you put those two together, and it was a much more consistent product. So very happy with the second outcome, and now I know what to do. It's like, it's amazing, like, how little there is to it from that standpoint. There's going to be a lot of prep in terms of getting the meat ready. Yes. Especially if you just get the meat without the rub, you have to develop your own rub. But there are a lot of recipes on the internet for, like, types of rubs that would work. So you can have fun with that. That'd be fun. That's it.
Oh, yeah. From the rubs, or if you ever want to do something that you marinated, of course, that's going to take a long time. If you're going to do chicken breasts on the grill or whatever, and you marinate them, you know, that's least an over. That's, you know, that's an overnight process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. No, but, marinating is.
You're right. I think that sometimes the prep is a little more involved.
Oh yeah.
The actual cooking. Because from what you were saying, and, you know, whenever you smoke something, I guess, you know, once it's on, you don't have to do much to it.
Nope. Just keep checking on it every now and again, and you won't ever really know when the perfect time is. I think the best thing you can do whenever you check on it every hour or so is look at the temperature. Do you have a temperature on your grill? Like, does it have a temperature on it?
Yeah.
Oh, you have one. Okay. Now, yep. I am told that it's not that accurate, but...
I have my doubts myself.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously you have to give and take a few degrees, maybe 50 degrees at the most. You know, give it like a 50-degree error on it. So, and then... But at least it's something, you know? And if you're not satisfied with that, you can get a temperature probe or just get the cheap one that I got, like an oven temperature, and literally just put it in there, like put it in the grill and then put it next to the meat even. I think your grill's bigger than mine, so that you'll have more room to do that, and that's key. As long as you limit your actual flame to one burner, just one burner on one end of the grill, you've got the situation perfect. Because then you just put your meat, whatever it is. It can be ribs, it can be brisket, it can be tri-tip, it can be chicken, whatever you want to smoke. It'll do the job. The other thing is, I think you probably want to do like two rounds of the wood chips. Like, you do one round and it starts to burn off. And once you stop seeing the smoke, open it up and fill it up with more wood chips and then keep going. And that's my other advice.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Yes. Seems like a... I was actually thinking about that. Sounds like a great way to do some chicken.
Yeah. I am thinking about that. You know, like you put a chicken on there, you get the one you're talking about that has the rosemary on it. That'd be really good. Then you just get the going with the wood chips and smoke that for a few hours. That'd be great. Crust would be amazing on that thing, you know? Imagine that.
Not quite so good for, you know, the franchise, but, you know,
that's a different animal.
Have you tried the veal parmesan?
I always have the chicken.
Never the veal.
Oh, man, too good. I heard that Mike's still doing shows. He's actually trying to do more shows right now in the middle of this coronavirus. That's funny.
Really?
Yeah. It's going to be... That's gonna be
Didn't
something.
I tell you a while back that we were really getting screwed out of good stuff? Oh, possible good stuff.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that would have been. Yeah, before he was all set up with that. Oh, that would have been hilarious. Trying to figure out all that home work at home stuff in flight.
Yeah.
I did love that. Was a great conversation. Oh yeah, but I'm sure that even now, with everything all set in place, he's got some gym moments on the show. I just haven't had the, you know, the effort to listen to it to find out, you know?
Oh, yeah, I would guess that he's going to screw something up. He's going to hit some button. I got hieroglyphs here.
Yep. I do miss him being relevant. I mean, that's mean, but seriously, yeah. He used to be relevant, man. Like, he hasn't been that relevant lately. And once you retire and try to come back, it's like, you can't expect that to return to the juice that you once had. So, it is what it is.
Yeah, so you nixed the takeout idea tonight. So what did you do?
Well, not much to write home about. I ended up getting a Campbell's Chunky Soup, which generally is a great decision.
Hey.
Yeah, right. But for whatever reason, I wasn't feeling the choice I selected. I found a chicken quesadilla soup, which I have loved over the years. But tonight, I don't know why, but it didn't it didn't jibe with me tonight. It was like, no, it's a little sad. It's a little, I don't know. It just kind of didn't have the right, it didn't have the right taste to me. I was like, I normally love cheese and chicken and things like that, but tonight it was just
two really good things.
Absolutely. So it was a little puzzling, my response to it, but in the end, I was happy that I'd made that decision. Cause like, I felt like I didn't have enough of an appetite to do a giant burger. So I like just decided, let's just postpone it till tomorrow and it'd be just as good tomorrow. So it'd be fine. And then with that, I had some Fritos, and then with that, I think I had a beer, and then with that, I had some water, and then I had, like, whatever was left over in my Coke bottle, so I had some Coca-Cola. It's kind of flat by now, though. I've had that thing out there for a while, so that's pretty much it. Kind of boring.
I've been on the takeout for quite a while. Well, tonight and going forward, so I'm here at Grandpa's house. I was, looking after the place or whatever, while he was laid up. He just came home yesterday. Mm-hmm. So, but he's still needing some help. And my mother being out of work, she's only 10 minutes away, so she's going to be here a lot. She made, making sure he eats.
Yeah,
which is
it's important.
You know what I mean? He definitely looks like he needs to, too. He's been gone since, or he's been dealing with this stuff since, mid to late February.
Mm. Yeah.
So he's been laid up a while, and now he's back. And I said she was here today, and she made her meatloaf, which is fantastic. Just out of this world.
Oh, I love meatloaf. That's great. Mm.
Yes. So I had that tonight, and she said she's gonna do goulash tomorrow, and she does a good job with that too. So We're eating good here. Last night I got a pizza. I had Twin Trees.
You got the Twin Trees.
$5 off. For the past few weeks, because it's $5 off of pizza on Tuesdays. So
good times.
No. Why wouldn't you?
No, for sure. Do you pick it up or do you have him deliver?
I go pick it up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not too shabby. It's funny that the concept of picking up versus delivery, and it's just a function of laziness and traffic, right? And especially in California. It's like you just don't know how tough it's going to be to get your car out of the driveway, but right now, obviously, not the case. For me, it's just a function of how lazy am I. And I have reached that conclusion a lot, though, since there's traffic is not really a factor right now. I'm like, well, I could have them deliver it, but it's like, do I want to spend an extra $5 or $6 on it? Like, no, I don't have to, so I just take it and take the car and pick up wherever I got to pick up. So
exactly.
Yeah, right? Yep. I mean, I don't see the incentive of delivery. Those moments do come, though, and tonight would have been one of them if I had followed through, where I didn't feel like taking the car out. But a lot of the time, most moments recently, it's been taking the car. Because, again, it's so easy to just park the car for a second and then pick up what you got to pick up. It's really not a big deal.
Well, especially now. I mean, mm-hmm. We don't have anywhere near the same issues here that you do as far as, when am I taking the car? When don't I want to take the car? That's just not, I might not want to drive through, Cicero every day during rush hour. I mean, back in, more regular times, it's not really an issue now, but it was kind of like, well, but there were ways around it.
Sure.
Other ways to go and other places to go. Mm-hmm. But I mean, and the Twin Trees isn't that far at all. It's less than 10 minutes, so
yeah, and
it's not even a...
That's pretty cool. Is it in a strip mall scenario? Does it have its own building? Is it easy to park?
It's a very small strip plaza type thing.
Okay.
Most of the... It seems like a lot of the things in there... In this little And it's not just one building. There's a couple buildings. There's one place right across the gap, the next building, Escapes Lounge and Bar, which they're also doing takeout. And I know through trap shooting, I know the people who own it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the stuff there is a little pricey.
Oh, is that right? Got it.
But it seems like most of the things in there, there's, like, an insurance office. You know, there's a dentist's mm-hmm. office. You know, stuff like that. Like professional-type things. So, you know, by the time, you know, you go to get a pizza at 7, it's not like those lots are going to be filled up.
That's true. And I don't even know if the dentist's office is already open right now. That's fascinating to think about.
No, you're right, but I think I'm more talking in general.
Oh, sure. Like in general times, like that's the case. Yeah, that's true. No, that's good. Okay, that's great. That's a pretty neat spot. So, pizza does sound like a good spot, too. Maybe. I do have, like, by the way, I have this is chain restaurant, Maria's, that I signed up to be a part of their loyalty program. And for signing up, I got a free cheese medium pizza. So I have until May, like, 10th to redeem that. So that is a good opportunity. I was thinking I would get that pizza, and then I'd order, like, a rigatoni with sausage. And then it would just – I would only pay for the rigatoni with sausage. So see how good that is? Like, that would be
a really – Yeah, it's a good spot.
Yeah, yeah.
That's definitely a good dinner.
Oh,
good
yeah. It's going to be a good night whenever I fire on that. But I've got a few days, so I'll think about it. And then there's another good deal at a place called The Habit, which most of the Habits are in Santa Barbara and Ventura, but they did sneak one into Santa Monica recently, so I can go to that one. And they have a deal where you can get four cheeseburgers, charbroil cheeseburgers with grilled onions, four fries, and a salad for $25. And I'm like, that is a deal. Like, I'm really tempted to do that, even though I only need, like, one of the burgers, but shit.
Right.
Why not save the others for, like, the next day, you know? It's just, like, it's a great deal, though. Like, I mean, because, like, the burger by itself can be, like, $5. So it's, like, to get that and all the salads and the fries, it's, like, incredible special.
Yeah. Speaking of burgers, to your thing, you know, to what you said earlier, I just can't wait till the weather gets nice so I can go outside, fire up the grill, at least to do some burgers.
Yeah.
The burgers or some dogs.
That's great.
Just to do some simple stuff.
Yeah.
Forget all this, you know what I mean?
For
or
sure.
Even just a couple chicken breasts on the grill. Forget all this, you know, trying new stuff. I just want to go outside and get some weather to go outside and just do some simple stuff, some cheeseburgers, man.
Yeah. You're right, though. The burger has to be the easiest thing to make on a grill, right? Like, you can't it's so hard to fuck that up. Like, you have to be really bad to mess that up.
Like, yeah, that, I mean, I would say hot dogs are the easiest because you literally, I don't see
true.
How you can.
That's true. Because if you think about it, if you do nothing to a hot dog, if you do absolutely nothing, you take it out of the package, it's actually still edible. So you have a point. Like,
yeah, they have been, you know, they have been cured or whatever, so they're technically still have been somewhat cooked.
Yeah.
I guess you would say. And as you know, you put them on the grill, just don't burn the outside black to a crisp. What else is there?
It's true. I think the greatest thing about the hot dog is that there is no more versatile way, no more versatile number of options to cook a hot dog than the hot dog. It's like you can boil a hot dog, you can grill a hot dog on the grill, like on a flame grill. You can do it on a stove. You can microwave
right
it.
That's how I do it during the winter time. It's just a little bit of peanut oil in a frying pan on the stove.
That works, man. That totally peanut oil. I haven't tried peanut oil. That's a good idea. I'm done with peanut oil. That's
I actually got that idea from Gramps because he said he thinks that's what. There's a place in Liverpool. It's not too far from here.
Mm-hmm.
really just up from where we used to play trivia on Monday nights.
Okay.
But it's called Hides. It's been there forever since, like, I don't know. I'd have to, I'll look it up.
Mm-hmm.
But we're 100 years, maybe. I don't know. But it's
100 years, wow.
It's just Hides of Liverpool, and they serve the, and I know you and I have talked about it before, the Hoffman hot dogs.
Oh, yeah, those white
hot dogs. And basically you go and you, they have the regular German Franks, but yes, and they have the Coonies, the, mm-hmm. the white, or Snappies as they call them,
yeah.
the white hot dogs. And they are very, very good. Yeah. And, but, you know, Hyde's, it's kind of like more like a lunch counter type thing. You know, you start at one end, what do you want? You know, you order your dogs here, then, you know, you go up and you, what do you want for, you know, you want a fry, you want fries or grab, you know, the already packed, you know, in the cold salads in the styrofoam containers. You know, then you get to the end, what are you drinking? You know, they do serve beer there, but it seems like a popular choice throughout the years there has always been a Burn Dairy chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk?
And
is it alcoholic chocolate milk?
No, just it's chocolate milk, man.
Really?
It's just, I don't know, almost like a tradition type thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you go sit in your plastic seats and it's a simple place. They do have a little outside seating, but you know, it's a simple place, but it's been an established thing there for, like I said, forever.
I got you. That's rad. That's cool. That's super cool.
Yeah, but according to my grandfather, who, you know, spent a lot of time in Liverpool when he was younger and growing up and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
He said that they use peanut oil there on their grill, so that's what he, you know, had to when he would do hot dogs or coonies on the stove or whatever.
Okay.
So that's why I started using it, and I think he was right. So
yeah.
Yeah. I will say that I'm not too big of a fan of the boiled dogs.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
I mean,
I like them.
Fine,
because...
but it's fine. It's never something I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what you get with a boiled dog is you get a hot dog in its purest natural habitat. And I think you get the most possible juice out of it. And I think you get the least amount of error with it, too, because when you have it on the grill, there's that opportunity for it to char too much, right? And then the casing can burn and it can snap and it can kind of seep out and what have you. But I understand your point. I think the thing about it is, like, with the peanut oil, I don't remember the scenario with the peanut oil's, like, burning point. Does it have a higher burning point than a typical corn oil might be? Because I think that's probably part of why I'm saying what I'm saying. Because I think if the peanut oil had a higher burning point, maybe I wouldn't really worry as much about it. But the ability for it to char and singe more is not as great when you boil it. But I mean, I'm just saying I like it. I'm saying I like it. It's an easy way to do it, and it comes out, and it's like, yeah, this is pretty juicy. This is pretty good. So I like them both ways. I guess that's my point. But do you have those issues when you use peanut oil specifically for grilling a hot dog?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, I just keep the heat on medium and, you know, till I get a little bit of, you know, searing on.
Yeah.
On one side, you know, you'll get like a sear on one side, and then, you know, turn it over, sear it on the other side.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah.
Add a little bit,
yeah.
Just a little bit, and
right.
You know, then you go. Like you said, you don't. It's not like you have to cook a hot dog to a certain temperature.
No. Yeah.
You're just kind of heating it through.
Yeah. It's funny how little you have to do to a hot dog to make that ready. It's like you're not putting it on there very long. That's my experience using the stovetop. It's like done
No. In
like a second. It's like, it doesn't take very long at all. So I will definitely try it with the peanut oil. The one proven thing I've found with peanut oil is fries. Fries on peanut and peanut oil are such a great combination. Really good when you fry fries and peanut oil. Amazing. Like, you can taste it for yourself if you go to a local Five Guys, because they do their fries in peanut oil. This is a disaster for anyone with peanut allergies. If you have a peanut allergy, stay the hell away from Five Guys, which most people do. But I'm saying, if you don't have a peanut allergy, then Five Guys fries are pretty solid. So I would recommend that.
I'm probably actually get to the Five Guys at some point here.
Yeah. I know you have one. I guess, like, they're everywhere. They're, like, you've got one in, like, every town.
Well, they had one over in Camillus, mm-hmm. but just to here to Camillus just to get a burger and some fries, that's not, you know what I'm saying? That's not something I'm doing.
That is a lot of effort, I guess.
I think in January, or yeah, it might have been January, opened one in Clay up near where I used to work.
Okay.
So that's not that bad at all. That's
okay.
Quite an easy trip.
Yeah.
But I mean, at first I just know that it was, maybe it wasn't quite like when they opened the Chick-fil-A in Cicero.
No, it's not the same
the first
scenario.
One around.
No, yeah, you're right. I will say this
about, I heard
about
it was busy over there.
Five Guys is not the kind of thing you want to go out of your way for. I need to make that clear. I just meant that if you happen to be around and you want to try the fries, that would be worth it for the fries. But for the burger part, the burger is fine. Like, I don't think it's bad, but it has never impressed me as the kind of burger you need to go out of your way for. It really hasn't. Like, there's better. I guess that's always been my impression. So I would concur with your point. Chick-fil-A is a unique experience and a very tremendous product. That is worth going out of your way for. Dunkin' Donuts isn't. And that was an experience back here where I live. There was lines
like, really?
Two blocks when the Dunkin' Donuts, that's just how few Dunkin' Donuts are out here. Yeah, I know. I didn't
wow.
get it either. That was the dumbest thing I've seen. And then within a month it was gone. Like the people wouldn't line up after that, because then they realized it's just Dunkin' Donuts. It's not that big a deal.
Well, see, something like that's odd to me, because Dunkin' Donuts has been around here forever.
Right, you know? Right, exactly.
And yeah. there's quite a few of them. So
oh,
it,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of around here. So it's kind of like I've never seen the world without, you know,
a world
Dunkin'
without
Donuts. And some people really do like their Dunkin' Donuts. They like the coffee and whatnot. And,
yeah.
You know, they go there all the time and get it, but it's never, you know, it's never been a craze. But man, when they opened that Chick-fil-A, holy shit! It still really hasn't calmed down.
It's deserved, though. Chick-fil-A is awesome. Like it's very good.
It's like when they opened the Sonic.
Yeah.
That caused traffic jams up in North Syracuse for a little while, and then it calmed down.
See, that's a little silly, because I mean, Sonic is good, right? But is it worth that? I don't know. I mean,
oh, but there wasn't one anywhere around
yeah.
here.
No, that makes sense.
I mean, we're talking hours when they opened this one up. So I think that was the attraction.
I guess.
But, but the thing is, you still see those two assholes in the commercial, even when you couldn't go have any. So
yeah, that's true. I had, you know, when I was younger, this is only like maybe like 15 years ago, I think they still had the same two assholes in the commercials, and I was like, I've never seen a
yeah,
Sonic.
Yeah, they've been doing it forever.
It's like, I couldn't find a Sonic with a microscope when I was that age. I was like, what are you talking about, Sonic? It's like a pipe dream to me. Finally found a Sonic, you know, and apparently the one that is closest to me is the location where the two assholes do all their commercials in Arcadia. Isn't that funny? So it's about an hour away, and I can just, if I really wanted to get Sonic, I could just go over there. It wouldn't be too bad. So
Sonic ain't worth no hour driving.
No. I'd have to be near. I'd have to be, like, for example, I'd have to be doing something in Pasadena anyway to attempt that. But I would never go out of my way just to go to Sonic. Like, it's not that good. It's like, some places are that good, but that's not one of them. Yeah.
So I got a question here.
Okay.
About burgers and grilling burgers and whatnot. Should go burgers now.
Oh, am I a burger snob? Like,
well, kind of, but here's the thing. It's like, here's what I want to know. At the store over in the meat department, they make up these specialty burgers.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy them, and they're rather expensive, but whatever. They're really big and nice and thick, but it's like a bacon cheddar burger, but it's got the bacon and cheddar, you know, and, you know, when you say bacon cheddar burger, you know, you're thinking strips of bacon on top with a melted slice of cheddar cheese. No, this has, like,
it's inside
the bacon bits and the shredded cheese, you know, mixed in the burger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that something you've ever seen or you approve of, or what's the...
That's a good question. There is a time and a place for it, and I will tell you that I have used this burger, and I have cooked this burger in my lifetime. It was years ago. It was so long ago that I was living in Santa Barbara at the time. So we're talking like 15, maybe 13 years ago at the earliest. And one of the nicest Ralph's stores. Ralph's would be known as Kroger on the East Coast and the South, and we're in the East in the Midwest. But there are different. They're called different things in out here in the West. In Denver, it's called King. In Phoenix, it's called Fry's. And in L.A., it's called Ralph's. So where I am in California, well, let's say California, it's called Ralph's. So when I was in Santa Barbara, I see these two different types of specialty patties. And one of them had the bacon and the cheddar integrated into the burger the way you described. The other one, I think, was like blue cheese and something else. And I think I tried them both. But certainly the cheddar-bacon combo was pretty good. It does make a very interesting experience, because normally you would put cheddar and bacon on top of the burger, but to have it inside already, it's an unusual process, right? You're eating it, and what you get is like, you get a lot of goo, because like, you're eating a burger, normally you get like the juice of the meat, but you're getting that and the goo of the cheese on top of it. It is good. I think it's very good. I like it. If you don't have the time to cook something like that, and you want the experience of something similar, you can go to a couple places. In Pasadena, there is a place called Slater's 5050, and they make a burger like that, where it's like half bacon and half cheddar cheese in the burger, like in the patty. It's fascinating. It really is. But that's the impression. Basically, you think of it, you know how you think of it, Chris? Think of it like a jalapeno popper, but instead of like batter on the outside, it's burger on the outside. And the inside is like your bacon and your cheese, and it just oozes all the way out of it. That's the way you think of it.
Ooh.
It's actually pretty good.
So this is like the burger around the stuff, because I've seen stuff like that too.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Jake's will do stuff like that sometime.
Mm-hmm.
They'll put like garlic cheese butter and Parmesan cheese like in the middle and in a pocket, and then let it, you know, ooze its way out.
Mm-hmm.
The Wegmans burger is more like, you know, like you were saying, it's like integrated into the burger patty, so it's, you know, all the way through it.
Yeah, it's not a go-to, but I think you should try it at least once in a while, because it is fun. Really fun.
Yeah, and well, they sell a lot of them, especially the bacon cheddar ones.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other ones. No, I thought I'd like the mushroom Swiss one, because I'm a big fan of, you know, a mushroom Swiss burger. But I don't know, the ones that we do at the store, it's like they're not mushroom, or there's not like enough in there.
Ah.
Or it seems to give me give what I need. They do one with you know, blue cheese crumbles in it, and that's very good. But that one also does not like to stay together on the grill. Which is another thing with the burger, with some burgers.
I think that is the fallacy behind this type of patty, is that there is a very good risk of it falling apart. and I think it worked out for me that one time, but it's never a guarantee. So that's sort of that's a good point, because you do have to be really careful about the way you cook it.
Yeah, it's, you know, those all like to seem to fall apart, and I don't know why. If it's just because, you know, the stuff you're putting in just doesn't help it bind as well as what it probably is. When you make one by hand, even when you make a burger by hand out of ground beef, you know, you gotta make sure you keep it, you pack it together enough so that when you do slap it on the grill, you know, you don't have it breaking in half and falling apart.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I have a difficult time making the patty look right, because when I do it by hand, it comes out looking like a Fig Newton. Like, it's just really kind of like more like an oval than a circle. So I've got some work to do in that area, but it's fun. It's fun to make your own patties. Like, are you a little more consistent with the way that you shape your patties?
Yes. Size sometimes seems to be, it's like, I think it'll be big enough. And then I end up with, you know, something that's a little bit bigger than a slider, and maybe a little, you know, smaller than what I wanted.
No, it's, I know what you mean. I've tended to have that problem as well. It doesn't seem to have the spacing that I want. It just ends up being too narrow in my case. Yeah, I gotcha. Let me ask you this on the topic of ribs again. What are your favorite cuts of ribs? Because I went with the St. Louis cut, but that's just because that's what Costco had. But baby back seemed to be my go-to. And I love beef ribs, but they are huge, and there's not a lot of rib. There's not a lot of meat on each rib, so that's kind of a special occasion situation for me. And the spare rib is good. I mean, St. Louis ribs are basically spare ribs with the ends cut off. That's all it is, really. So those are your three basic families of rib. How would you compare them with one another?
I tend to like the St. Louis myself. I don't know why. It just seems to me to be the classic way. Baby back, you know, you're smaller. I guess, you know, I almost think it tends to be a little more tender, but I don't know. I'm fine with the St. Louis style. Just seems to be what I'm used to more than anything else.
It's nice. It's like got a good amount of meat, whereas, for example, the beef, I told you, there's not a lot of meat to bone ratio, and it's very satisfying. I agree with you.
So when it comes to, I know you said, you know, dry rub, and rubs are great on, I don't know, I like rubs on pretty much anything, but when it does come to if you were using a barbecue sauce, what's Dave's preference? Do you like something that's, you know, thick and sweet, or do you like something that's, you know, maybe a little tangy? You know, now you got ones that are a little bit hotter. Then you got, you know, your mustard and vinegar based ones. I think they all have a place, a time and a place. I like something that's sweet, maybe a little tangy, because I just have a big-time sweet tooth no matter what.
I don't want it too sweet. I think if you're talking about sauces, I like the traditional, just like the, you know, kind of a mustardy even sauce sometimes. But just a regular type sauce would be ideal. My favorite store-bought is Stubbs, and just the original flavor is my favorite. So whatever that is, if you had a chance to check it out yourself, that's right on the money. That's like, that's the taste I want. Like, that's perfect to me. So,
I even like, for chicken, not for like ribs, but for, you know, chicken, like even a brown sugar barbecue sauce to go that sweet.
Brown sugar is good, because brown sugar is a big fat component in dry rubs. And so I don't object to the brown sugar either. So there, to me, I have room for variety. And a brown sugar-based sauce, like a little bit more molassy type sauce, I like it. I think that's good too. So while I said that I like the straight ahead, you know, straight down the middle type taste, and I'm even good for like spicy barbecue sauce and mustard-leaning sauce. If you ever go to some really hardcore barbecue places, they have like a more yellowy type of sauce, which is kind of more mustard based.
That's what I tried on my chicken that I had in the oven not so long, a little while back, was the it's Wegmans brand, you know, so store brand, and it was Carolina Gold, and it's, you know, a mustard based barbecue sauce, and man, it was kind of intense. It was good. Mm-hmm. It was good, but man, it was, you know, almost made you know, pucker a little bit.
Oh, really?
That kind of,
wow.
Yeah, that tangy.
Gotcha.
But,
there's definitely a tang. Like, yeah, a lot of tang involved.
Yeah, but, you know, Dinosaur here in Syracuse, which is the big time barbecue place here in Syracuse, Dinosaur Barbecue, and, you know, their main sauce, it's still, you know, a red barbecue sauce, but it's not too sweet, and it's got a little bit of heat to it, a little bit of tanginess to it, but it's top notch. And then they have, you know, they have their own version of a sweeter sauce, and then they have the Wango Tango, which has, you know, more peppers in it, which is, you know, that's not something you actually cook something on. That's something you put on afterwards. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe not Tabasco, but it's, I always like putting a little bit of that if I got fries there. I like putting a little bit of the Wango Tango sauce on them.
Mango Tango sauce.
But I mean,
sauce.
That's
like a, is that a Sammy Hagar scenario? I think I remember him being associated. That's his brand. So I think it'd be worth, I'd like to take a look at that. Yeah. Good times.
That's good. And you know, Dinosaur, they even have their own rub, which is nice.
Ooh.
But yeah. Like I said, they're the tops of the barbecue. Some people seem to prefer Limp Lizard. I don't know. I go to Limp Lizard, and, you know, I was going to Limp Lizard a lot every Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So and their stuff's good, but I don't know, it just wasn't Dinosaur.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've spoken really highly on it, so I know that your point, that it's the real thing, because your knowledge of food is really good, and for you to continuously go to Dino as one of the best, that's a high mark. I think that means something to me. So, and they have them in New Jersey. They have them in other places in the Northeast too. Yeah, not pretty much all throughout the New York State. Yeah,
They've had a couple different locations. There's one in Syracuse, one in Rochester, but it's really not a widespread thing.
Okay.
They did have one in New York City. I don't think it made it, though, just because I don't know why, if it's just too much competition down there and, you know, rent's really high. They had one down in the city, but I don't think it made it. But I mean, the Syracuse one's the original one, so. But even when I was out in school out towards Rochester, you know, I went to that one a few times, and it was,
mm-hmm.
It was the same thing, so.
Yeah.
That's always good.
So it's kind of more, it's originated in the, like, the central western New York area. That's cool. Okay.
So, yeah.
That's awesome. I think that's worthwhile. I was going to go, like, are the owners from, like, Texas or something? But who knows? But obviously, it's been, it's a big, it's kind of growing. From what I know, and so that's awesome. So they sound like they know the stuff. So pretty neat. So let's close with this. So you said you had some projects going. You want to do burgers again. You want to do ribs again. We didn't talk about oysters and scallops, and that's something I've never done. And I wanted to pick your brain as to some of the methods that are involved with seafood on the grill. Like, what can you recommend to us?
Well, I would definitely recommend using foil if you're for pretty much any seafood you're going to do on a grill. Put foil down, oil it. You're going to want to season and marinate ahead of time. And then watch your times. Otherwise, you're going to dry it out. So the shrimp and the scallops on the grill, it's a great way to do it. But, man, you're not talking long. Depending on, you know, how big and thick they are, just a few minutes aside. I mean, shrimp are really on the easy side to cook, because they'll tell you, you know, they change to that nice orange color and they start to curl. And the trick there is you want them to look like seas. When they start to curl and they start to look like seas, that's when you take them off, because if you leave them on long enough and they start, you know, to close in and start look like O's, you've probably overcooked them, and they're going to be a little dry and rubbery.
Okay. So watch for them to look like C's. That's your cue. If they look like C's.
Yep. And you know, they'll look orange.
Nice.
When you grill them, when you cook them, and you know, they'll change. And
yeah.
No, that's easy. Scallop's a little tougher, but I mean, if you do have a thermometer, which you say you do, you're just looking for about 140 degrees.
Okay.
Internal temp on seafood. But it's a very good way to do things like shrimp and scallops.
Yeah, that sounds great. So that'll be probably the biggest challenge I come up with in the next few months or so as I start continuing my grilling adventure. But good advice. Thank you. And from that, I think we'll close it up. Chris, it's been a lot of fun talking about meats and grilling and food with you, as it always is. And I want to wish you continued safety and health the remainder of however long this goes. I'm hoping another month or so. But all the best. And if you need any tips as far as grilling and cooking on my end, just let me know, and I'd be happy to provide them.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for having me on. Always a good time.
Yeah, always. For sure. Take care, man.
Later.
Later, buddy. That's Chris in Syracuse, and that is our program tonight. That concludes the letter R. Coming up, the letter S. And then some good surprises for you and good fun ahead in our next of the anthology series, A to Z. I am Dave Medina. You can find us on Twitter at DidCow, on the web at DidCow.com. Look for Dave in the City Out West on Apple Podcasts. Enjoy all the shows we've done so far, and we'll see you next time.